Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
It's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Chocolate Thunder.
Boom.
Shakalaka-laka. It's a wonderful night. A cold night, finally. Maybe the mosquitoes will go sit down for a little while and lose weight. But I always start off the show with saying things like to wish a rest in peace to Miss Wingfield. Her family opened Saucy Q Barbecue on Government Boulevard and were there for decades. She passed away October 7th. I did not know until I talked to Mr. Wingfield yesterday. Keep that family in your prayers. They were married 47 years. And to think of having that type of connection with someone that long, most people cannot remain friends 47 days, but they were married 47 years. So keep them in your prayers and your thoughts. Our phone and text line is 251-343-0106. When you hear our topic tonight, we're all going to open with my friend, co-worker Officer Roger Miles. He's going to talk about some safety tips during the holiday. And then our topic after that will be Pearl Harbor. I want to hear your thoughts and your ideas and even your suggestions. But now I want to introduce Officer Roger Miles from the Mobile Police Department Public Information Office. You've seen him on television. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Most definitely.
When you said you had just woke up, I'm going to tell everybody. I did not think you were going to make it.
Hey, I'm a man of my word, so I have to make sure I make it.
You were here, and I'll never doubt you again, my friend. Never doubt you again.
Thank you.
It's coming up on the holiday season, Roger.
Yes, and now we have some tips. These are going to be my top 10 tips, and this is going to be provided courtesy of the Mobile Police Department. We'll start off with number one, make sure you stay alert in crowded places. I know a lot of people, whenever you go to these shopping centers, you don't necessarily pay attention to where you park. But if you can park in a well-lit area, make sure you choose those parking spaces before you go to the back of the parking lot where it's dark. Also, and when parking in a well-lit area, for our female listeners and audience, make sure you don't just cover those purses and or bags with a jacket or a blanket in the vehicle. Make sure you actually take that said purse or bag inside of the vehicle.
How about a fanny pack, or don't even take
the
one?
The fanny pack, yes. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to leave it inside the vehicle, put it inside the trunk. Used to going shopping with Granny, and she take that wallet out of that purse and she would put it in the trunk.
Right. They don't need what's in a purse most of the time anyway.
Exactly. Number two, plan ahead of your travel. If you're traveling, make sure to book accommodations in advance and check any travel advisories. And that's for our people that are traveling out of state or to another city. Just make sure you pay attention to the weather and or the traffic. Number three, secure your home. I know a lot of times the home is where we think we're the most safest, mm-hmm. but sometimes that's where we're the most vulnerable because we leave our blinds open after hours. We leave doors open.
And people actually follow you home sometimes.
Exactly. Right? And they pay more attention to your living arrangements than you do. So mm-hmm. if you're expecting an Amazon package, make sure you secure the home or let a neighbor know, hey, I'm going to be out of town. I'm expecting this package after 5 o'clock. Can you pick that up for
right.
me? Number four, be cautious when online shopping. Use secure websites when making purchases. I have fallen victim. Even as a mobile police officer, I've made purchases and I have fallen victims to the scam websites. So make sure that you're using reputable websites and or shopping outlets whenever you're making said purchases. Something that I have to be cautious about. I just recently relocated to a new resident, and I have a fireplace, JY.
I know. You told me that's what put you to sleep.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what put me to sleep. But I have a fireplace now, so you want to make sure that when using candles or Christmas lights, especially if you have, like, live Christmas trees, make sure that you're paying attention to the moisture of the tree and make sure you're just paying attention to the things around it. You don't want to cause a fire hazard. Mm-hmm. We're sure Mobile Fire Rescue Department will love the extra activity that you give them on their night shift. But as a mobile police officer, we don't want anybody to have to succumb to those type of situations. Be mindful of alcohol consumption whenever you're going out. If attending gatherings where alcohol is served, drink responsibly. Consider arranging for a designated driver or using public transportation to get home safely. Number seven, avoid sharing too much on social media.
Yes, sir.
Be cautious about posting travel plans or vacation photos until after your trip.
Yeah, if I were a criminal again, that's what I'd do is watch social media.
You know, watching Home Alone and studying that and watching it year after year, I think I can be the, I don't know what they call it. What were they called? The ball-headed bandits something? Yeah, they most definitely would make a... Yeah, this can prevent potential burglars from knowing when you're home when unoccupied. Number eight, maintain personal safety. If you're late, try to travel in groups, park in well-lit areas, just like we say when shopping, and keep your phone charged for emergencies. You never know when anything needs to happen. Keep emergency numbers handy and make sure you stay healthy. You know, we're not dealing with COVID, but we have to make sure that we're not spreading cold seasons or germs, so we want to make sure we don't bring that into the household.
I talked to Chief Jackson, and his thing was situational awareness. Be aware of your environments. Officer Miles, so many people walk around with their cell phones in their hands.
Correct.
Why is that dangerous?
It's very dangerous because you're not paying attention to your surrounding areas. Like we trained to let the room breathe. Put that cell phone down and look out in front of you at least 5 feet and make sure you're letting your surrounding areas breathe. When you pull into a shopping center, before you jump out of the vehicle, because that's what you're accustomed to, sit and watch and see who's around you, who's waiting for you to get out of the vehicle, and or if you see anything suspicious or if you hear any noises.
How about locked vehicles? How many?
Lock your doors. I can't stress this enough. Right. We do public safety announcements, but please make sure that you lock your doors.
Mm-hmm. So then another thing is people want to warm the car, so they'll start the cars and leave them running.
If you're in a position to where you have to warm your car, I know we don't have carburetors. Maybe I'm maybe misspeaking, but you don't have to do all that in vehicles anymore. But if you do so, make sure that you're in the eye distance of said car that's running, and make sure that you keep an eye on it when you do that in the morning times.
What about the buddy system? Did you say that as long as when you go shopping at any time, make sure you're not shopping alone?
Make sure you're not shopping alone. If you have a buddy that you can go shopping with, hey, I'm going to watch the door and you watch our back. It's kind of like you're in a tactical situation as a police officer.
Right.
Make sure one person got the front, one person got the back. I have your six.
Something I see is Paul Check said they're the wet bandits, not the bald head bandits.
The wet bandits.
The wet bandits. Something I often see, not that I want to rob anybody, but I'm just observant, that people will get in their car, leave their door open, and immediately start double finger text messaging.
Cell phones are the new age distraction, so you have to make sure that you're not distracted either by a cell phone or a younger adult, which is a minor or a juvenile. So if you have a child, make sure you're watching your surroundings while you're doing said task, but also make sure that you're keeping you and that juvenile or minor safe.
Because people let their kids wander off a lot during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold their hands. Don't keep them in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 30 seconds we have, what does Mobile PD want everyone to do this holiday season, the most importantly?
Most importantly, Mobile Police Department, we would like to spread the word of safety. We want you to be safe, and we want everyone else out there that's out doing Christmas or holiday shopping, we want you to be safe. So watch your surroundings, and if you see something, say something.
If you see something, say something. Chief Jackson and
most
Chief Jones both said that. If you see something, say something. And then let the boys come in and do their work.
Yes. We're here for 12 hours for the most part. let them get out there and work for those 12 hours.
Good description, name and address.
There you go.
Officer Miles, thank you so much for showing up.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll tell you something, I'll never doubt you again.
Please don't doubt me again.
I won't doubt you again, brother. We're coming back in about 3 minutes. Thank you guys so much. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Thank you, brother. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, we're back. Thank you guys for waiting. Those were some excellent tips on Mad Hatter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But these are the same things we say every year, but we have to remind people because the police department will begin getting calls about, oh, somebody stole my purse. Yeah. And you left it on the front seat with the window down.
It, people are preoccupied. People right. are preoccupied with everything.
Leaving firearms in the car and your door is unlocked. These kids, don't even, they don't have to break windows anymore. They just go through neighborhoods, apartment complexes, pulling on door handles. Mm-hmm. Support City Patriots. Take your valuables in. Lock your doors. Lock your windows. Hide your valuables. Put them in a trunk or don't have them in the car at all. But I know someone who has plenty of valuables that everyone should go see, and it's Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn. Located at 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-4653, gold. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Helma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are there from early in the morning to late in the evening for all of your needs, for your bedroom, bathroom, boudoir, their firearms, gold chain. It's Christmas time. Everyone needs a gold chain. Go there, see what they have, appliances, DVDs, CDs, cassettes, you name it, they got it, fishing poles. Stop in and see them. JJ still loves hugs, and Braxton will still let you pet his beard to show that it's real. Tell them Big Mahogany or Chocolate Thunder sent you, boom. Tell them he sent you.
Big boom.
Yeah, boom, and they'll let you get two hugs. So check my friends out at Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pound. Yesterday, my friend Todd Morrison sent me a text message about what December 7th is to Americans, mm-hmm. and that is the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
We should never forget the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was active president then, and what did he call it? The
Day of will live in infamy.
And we should remember that, Mad Hatter. At 0748 a.m., the Japanese launched a very strategic attack against the American fleet. And what led up to that is America was supporting Japanese enemies, and America had colonies in Philippines. And the Japan didn't only attack Pearl Harbor. They attacked Guam and several mm-hmm. other islands on that day.
Yeah.
And so it was a means to cut off the support that America was giving and stake their stronghold. You know, they really thought it would only take 6 months to destroy. And you know that. You're a history buff.
Yeah. You know, the admiral, he actually was a Harvard graduate, and he tried to talk the emperor out of it. But the emperor was listening to the army general, right. Tojo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a lot of complexity going on there. There had been fights within, like, a civil war almost between inside the Diet, between the Diet. Well, that's what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were, people more interested in defending, and other people, they were with expansionists. So you had that toxic stew of expansion versus defense.
And they were from a warrior heritage. That everyone wanted to prove themselves in battle.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to kill or die in battle.
Yep.
So those are the underlying issues. And, folks, we're not saying this to take away from the 1,777 lives that were lost at Pearl Harbor. We're just explaining it's not just surface. There's a lot that went on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
There are only 12 surviving members from Pearl Harbor. None of them could attend the memorial service.
Yeah.
So we had to do it for them. And like I said, the Japanese attacked the Philippines, Guam, Wake Island, Malaysia, Singapore on that day. They mm-hmm. truly believed they had the imperial force to mm-hmm. Win the world. They attacked like a Tora.
Yep.
And the attack lasts several hours.
Mm-hmm.
they torpedoed, they strafed. They had mini subs that were designed to go in and fire torpedoes. And I encourage you all, and you too, Matt Hatter, to go on. This is not a paid advertisement for YouTube, but go on to YouTube and watch a video by Mont Mayor, M-O-N-T-E-M-A-Y-O-R, Attack on Pearl Harbor. He does an excellent job of showing aerial maps from his animated vision and actual maps, because the Japanese recorded the attack. And there were also Americans recording what happened when the Arizona was sunk, when the Raleigh. I mean, it's just incredible, the documentation we have now. And if anyone ever wants to pay homage or honor the lives that were lost, go learn about it.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of good historians, too. There's a guy named Edward Jablonski who wrote a four-volume series called Air War. And of course, he deals a lot with that, you know, with Pearl Harbor, and especially, you know, how the Germans, they, like, this guy, what was his name? Von Siecht. He was actually in long before Hitler, like in the 1920s, he was trying to build an air force. And of course, the League of Nations were saying, you know, well, you can't build your own planes. You can fly planes, but you can't build them. So he contracted with Lenin. This is before Stalin, and they had like an experimental farm, which a tractor factory basically, where they built like the Panzer tanks,
right.
And then they had another place where they built the Stukas, and they had another place where they trained German aviators. And then that got passed on to Stalin. So, I mean, there's a sprawling amount of facts in history about the motivations, the internal warfare, the disconnect in communications, and it just
even how the Axis became unified, because there was an agreement that Italy, Germany had that if this occurred, then we will be on their side. And America had a pact with Great Britain and France that if this occurs, then we'll be on each other's side. So it was a predetermined. This wasn't an idea that just sort of grew from the beginning, but these were agreements that were already hashed out.
That had started back with Lenin, with Hitler. Right. And he sent his subs around the sniffing around America's shore, like in the '40s. I mean, 1940, like he had his plans, and he and Russia, and Stalin definitely agreed to divide up part of Europe with each other. I mean, they were on a road for conquest.
Right.
The
USS Arizona is the only ship they could not raise, and that's why it became a memorial. And several of the battle of the ships that were sunk were raised and went back into battle. The bravery of some of those men that when they were torpedoed, they remained on to correct the ship so it wouldn't sink.
And they did get people out.
Yeah. There was an exact amount of bravery that is unmatched to be on a ship.
Sure enough, the black history of things, there was a gunner. Mm-hmm. He was a guy.
He was a cook, and he went out and grabbed a machine gun.
And he got behind. Well, it was the fixed, the anti-aircraft machine gun. So,
an American.
Oh, yeah.
He was an American. And the point I'll culminate with is when Americans unite, we can beat anyone. And we're going to keep talking about Pearl Harbor, but when we come back, we'll talk about some of our history of when Americans believed in America and defended America, and then point fingers at people that may not love us America as much as they say. You know, there is information out or thoughts that are out that America had foreknowledge, that intelligence was telling them that the Japanese forces are building.
Well, there were some things like they were not paying attention. A radar actually picked up the planes coming, but they didn't believe that it was. They thought it was B-17s.
Right.
A flight of B-17s flying around.
Right. And before that England had sent information that Japan has been scouting this area and that they were building forces.
Chatter. It was building up, like, between the diplomats. It was getting hairy. It was really getting to worrisome. Like, as the weeks came on, that they were concerned.
Let's remember, Mad Hatter, that Americans, after World War II, were isolationist.
World War One.
World War One, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. World War One. We were isolationists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We wanted nothing to do with another world war.
Oh, yeah.
Because hundreds of thousands of Americans were gassed and mustard gas wounds, and they were, we didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so America had to have a catalyst or a reason to get involved, and it had to be personal. Just like September 11th after World War II, patriotism, they were lined up to volunteer, and I think the average weight of the combat soldier in World War II was like 160 pounds, carrying another 60 pounds of equipment.
Well, that's like going all the way back to the Civil War when you go into the fort.
Fort Condi, right. Yeah, I had to duck.
Because people were shorter back then.
But they were filled. Yeah. How many boys lied about their age so they could sign up and go fight in World War II?
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Army knew. They just wanted the bodies. But that is the day of infamy that lasts forever. So I'm raising a toast to those that sacrificed and died on at Pearl Harbor. Lest we forget, we should always honor them. To anyone that has lost a family member there that's still alive, I lift a toast to you also. I got the single finger salute, so we're coming back. And then we'll talk about where we've come or experienced since World War II. Tonight I'm Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. We're back tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. You know, Mad Hatter, the things we talk about off air, if we talked about them on air, I'd just run out of time. You know, I wouldn't be able to get anything in. And you know, we talked about, and Paul Check, of course, sent me that if the Japanese bombers had bombed the fuel stores there, it would have been a much worse disaster, and the aircraft carriers were out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the Pearl Harbor is, like I said, that's why I encourage you guys to go online and see the attack on Pearl Harbor by Monty Mayer. That is the most concise reporting of that event without sitting and reading books like you and I have, watching the documentary by Ken Burns or some. It is very concise.
But you do need like multiple historical sources.
Oh, absolutely. I'm saying that is a good start, and it's a good way to. Because each of us have had one thing that made us want to read more about something.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all had that spark that made us interested in it. And now we get to armed conflicts since World War II.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And since World War II, every American president has been involved in some type of conflict on foreign soil. Republican and Democrat.
But that's been going on all throughout history.
Nations invading nations is a human pastime.
The
distinction I make is until September 11th, America hadn't been attacked on soil.
Yeah.
And thank God we hadn't. But we've been involved in conflicts since then.
And there were a few things, like the Japanese built these little bomblets that they put on parachutes that actually carried across.
Yeah.
And they did make it to the continental United States. Somebody at a park, like not Yellowstone, but another park, blew up in his hand, laying at a parking bench.
Right.
But as far as like, yeah, but then the real attacks.
Well, we're fortunate that we haven't had a war on our soil since 1812.
Yeah,
and
the Civil War.
And the Civil War from foreigners, I mean. The Civil War was internal. It did have some Hessians and Frenchmen. Yeah, but
although the Barbary pirates, they were hitting our shores. So
they were looting ships. But they didn't come on shore and say, we're taking over America trying to build a new nation or invade.
They
have been slaughtered. And we should be grateful that we have the Atlantic and the Pacific and friendly neighbors to our north and south.
Although the Barbary pirates were jihadis, they did have the motivation to take over the world for a caliph. He literally stated, the head of the guy said, you know, this is jihad.
They weren't
this is
going
holy
to.
War.
Right. But we are fortunate at this point that the last attack on our soil was September 11th, and not celebrating 3,300, I think, Americans died on that day.
Yeah.
But we have been fortunate that we've not tasted war, modern warfare, on our soil, that we've not seen our hospitals blown up and our schools blown. We are the most fortunate logistically nation in the world.
Yeah.
And as being the most powerful military nation in the world, I think we outspend the next 20 countries on military.
Although there, we've fallen asleep at the wheel on a lot of that, you know, because now they've got the, you know, the hypersonic missiles that Russia has that, you know, are you know, they're not, you know, interceptor missiles, and, you know,
But my point is that since 1945, we've been involved in conflicts with Republican and Democratic presidents.
Mm-hmm.
We've had armed conflicts. Once upon a time, Congress declared war.
Which is good and bad, because, there was a time when the Democrats and the Republicans weren't really, I mean, they were patriotic.
But they're not anymore. They're political. And that's my point, that when Congress declared war, there was no doubt on World War II. There was no doubt we have this common enemy. We're Americans. People began giving up their pantyhose and their tin cans for the war effort. You went on rationing cards. Everyone did their part as Americans. And, you brought up the black sailor earlier, but black and white people then were Americans.
Absolutely.
Just like September 11th solidified us as Americans.
The Navajo Indians
were Americans.
They developed that code, code the Nazis couldn't break.
And now we're separated again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to take another war for us to realize that blood is blood. I had a good friend that I graduated police academy with named Nathan Young, who went over to Iraq, and his Humvee was hit by an IED, and he's not been the same since.
Mm-hmm.
I have another good friend that went over in Desert Storm in the early 90s, and he's not the same. Yeah. So the point I always make is service members are human.
Mm-hmm.
These are men and women. We call them sailors and Marines and soldiers, and I don't know what they call the people in the Coast Guard and airmen, but they're human beings first.
Well, yeah.
And Smedley Butler, the retired United States Marine Corps general, said war is a racket. One of the things he pointed out, that war is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest and easily the most profitable. Surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It's the only one in which profits are reckoned in dollars and losses of lives. He spent 33 years and 4 months of active duty service and spent most of his time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and bankers. In short, he was a racketeer and a gangster. He said he could have taught Al Capone a few things. This is from General Smedley Butler in 1935.
Yeah, well, that was the way the Germans were. I mean, that was a corporate war, too. They,
But we're Americans, so we're supposed to have a higher standard. And Smedley Butler's point is maybe we're not so different.
We didn't have a higher standard just because some people were motivated by corporation. I mean, money is a medium of exchange. It's how we – I mean, you can't avoid – blood and treasure being a part.
But we're not supposed to base it on these young kids living their lives, losing their lives, because when these companies get these contracts that are paying billions of dollars and they're only looking at a profit margin, they aren't looking at Young Jr. being sent to a desert far away.
You better be careful with who you do business with.
And you're spending $100 a bullet, and we just want to get the bullets, like during the stay in Afghanistan, there would be warehouses filled with vehicles and equipment that wasn't used. When America left Afghanistan, how many billions of dollars of equipment was left? Smedley Butler also said, looking back, I might have given the best he could do was operate his racket in three districts. I operated three continents. His call to action, Smedley Butler said, to summarize, three steps must be taken to smash the war racket. One, we must take the profit out of war. Two, we must permit the youth of the land who would bear their arms to decide whether or not we should go to war. And three, we must limit our military forces to home defense purposes. And I think that's something that America, we have more than 200 bases worldwide. We've become the bodyguard for everyone else.
You still have to have an offensive force. When somebody attacks you offensively, you have to, your defense also becomes offensive.
Smedley Butler's point is that if we're defensive, you're cutting me off.
Yeah, there are plenty of other generals that don't agree with everything he said, and I do not think he's correct. It was not all a racket. It was not even motivated primarily as a racket. It still happened. The Soviets and the communists, there's an ideology.
You're cutting
involved.
Me off. Let me finish my thought, right? So I'm speaking about Smedley Butler and what he's saying, right? And so we can't debate whether or not what other generals said. I'm reading for Smedley Butler and that his ideas, what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So his ideas are on the deception of war. Beautiful ideals are painted for our boys who were sent out to die. This was the war to end wars. This was the war to make the world safe for democracy. No one told them that dollars and cents were the real reason. He was also recruited.
It's never been the only reason. It really hasn't.
That's the sad part about it, because wars are supposed to be fought to defend democracy. We are always told that.
And they still can be, even when other people are screwing up. You still have to move ahead.
But they are not being fought for that. If people are giving out billions of dollars of contracts and they're making money off of it. If a retired colonel from the Marine, a general from the Marine Corps is saying this is my experience.
The communists do the same thing.
I don't care about the communists. We're not talking about the communists. We're talking about America.
I'm talking
about the United States of America, which stands to defend a democracy and a nation of rights and constitutional people.
Even with the fallen nature of mankind,
Butler saying that this is what I experienced. And you can't debate a man who did 33 years saying, this was my experience in the military. And we should stop ignoring it and making excuses for it.
He's not the only one to say it. My stepdad was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force.
He is not the only one to say it.
My dad served in the USS. And there are plenty of other people who refute the war. You'll find lots of people like my dad, 19 years old, 20 years old, that have died in Vietnam.
The cause shouldn't be profit. It should be defending America.
Profit will be in there somewhere.
But it shouldn't lead. It shouldn't be first.
And it shouldn't be main. It doesn't.
It has. It has. And it always has. The war in Iraq was about profit.
It has not been.
The war in Vietnam was for profit.
No, it has not.
The USS Liberty. There have been one and one attacks.
False flag opportunity.
The Israelis thought
that was an Iranian.
You said it right the first time. You said it was a false flag operation.
That's what they thought.
And that's where the term came from.
That's what it has been, a racket.
Smedley Butler said it's a racket.
And we should listen to people that have fought the war. It was an Iranian racket. It was an Iranian Islamic racket.
And guys that have experienced it.
It was an Iranian Islamic racket.
We need to stop telling people that everything is about democracy and the freedom of America. Not across the board. That comes back to the fallen nature of man. But I'm talking about that fallen nature and not making exceptions for it. In spite of the fallen nature, what are we going to do? Why are we fighting overseas wars?
You can start
minding your own business.
Because they fight here. Because they come after us here.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. When was the last time? You just mentioned 9/11.
That was almost 30 years ago. That's all you got?
We've been fighting wars
in foreign nations since 1945.
And they've been fighting us for the same year.
They've been fighting us here since 1945. Come on now.
You can't have.
We're coming up on our break, folks. We're coming up on our break, folks. We'll be right back. We're back at Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. The point I try to make is that war is not simple and easy. It's not pretty. If politicians' sons and daughters went to war, maybe we'd have different actions. If money was kept out of war profiteering, blind contracts, no bid contracts, billions of dollars, maybe we would have fewer wars. The point I try to make is explaining that these are not, I didn't serve. I didn't go to war, but I know people who did. I know men that have come back broken and maimed and mentally broken and physically maimed, and their families have lost, and many of them didn't come back alive. So when I say that America's been involved in armed conflicts, wars, crisis, and incidents since 1945, the majority of them have not occurred on American soil. American soldiers and sailors and Marines are so important to me that I will not put them in harm's way just so these private contractors can make money. if there should be little or no. The World War II, the sacrifices Americans made for the war machine, they made sacrifices of giving up their pantyhose and tin cans. It was never intended to become a full-time money-making job. And that's what President Dwight D. Eisenhower said on January 17, 1971, about the military-industrial complex. His point was, if the councils of government, we must control the acquisition of unwarranted influence to avoid this. And we've reached a point that we haven't. We've lost complete control over the purpose of our military and why we send service members off. Every president since World War II has been involved in something. Republican, Democrat, they can both say how much they love our service members and how much they want to keep America out of war. But even this year alone, the current president has been involved. And don't take my word for it. Go to the History Guy, historyguy.com, Wars by President. It's online. He has his own website. He's a history professor. And he documents and itemizes each incident that has occurred. Go read it and see which presidents were involved in what incidents or wars. Trump has been involved in five of what I describe as incident or conflicts or wars this year. Shouldn't we be concerned about that if Americans can be involved in that many things off American soil? No, I don't want Americans fighting wars on our soil. But I also don't want American boys, soldiers and sailors and women's lives put in danger so someone can get a profit. You know, Biden was involved in seven incidents or wars or conflicts in his 4 years in office. In Trump's first term, it was four. Obama had 10. And these were in, Obama's were in Yemen and Somalia and Libya. And we keep telling people that we are going to fight them there so they don't come here. Well, we have all this intellect and this technology that we should be able to see them here. Maybe if we tighten up some things on our own borders, like allowing just anyone in, and maybe if we cut out some of the political action committee money that foreign nations donate to our politicians to get them to make laws and legislate in their favor, maybe if we change that, maybe if people or politicians that are have dual citizenship have to make themselves known to be a foreign agent. Maybe we've become so complacent within our borders that we think it's easy to just tell a bunch of 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 19-year-olds that we're going to send you over to overseas or to a foreign land and defend their democracy. Why don't we spend that money here? The idea that we can be the world police and tell everybody what they should do in our different brands of democracy, we aren't doing it the way it was intended. I do not believe the Founding Fathers intended us to spend billions or trillions of dollars over the last 80 years in foreign wars. I don't believe the idea of the Second Amendment was anything beyond a person being able to carry a weapon, if you read it, to defend themselves against incursion and intrusion from the government. You know, W. Bush was involved. Remember when Iraq and Afghanistan, Iraq occurred, Clinton, everyone talks about Mogadishu, and we should, and what we should remember. But every president before Clinton and after Clinton has had an event that occurred on foreign soil. But because it's an R.D. behind the name, then we get angry about it. Well, I'm angry about all of it. Our military lives, men and lives, should not ever be just cast aside for any reason. And because I take this view, it's my opinion, it's my view, and it's based on, we can all agree, historical documents. If someone disagrees, then so be it. But can I be wrong for saying I don't want American lives put at stake unnecessarily? Can I be wrong for saying I don't want American tax dollars being paid to fight foreign wars unnecessarily? When Reagan invaded Grenada, when Clinton invaded Bosnia, he supported the Bosnian War and was involved in Kosovian War. What does that really have to do with America? Then why are we in Panama? George W.H. Bush invaded Panama. What does that have to do with America? That's all I'm saying. There are times to fight. I'm not a pacifist. I'm nonviolent, but I'm not a pacifist. And when it's time to fight, it's time to fight. And if killing is involved in that, I'm going to try to be not be the one that's killed. But the Vietnam War went through three presidencies. And why? Were we really going to bring democracy to a place that didn't want us there? Iraq War, Afghanistan War, those were under different presidents. So my point, Port City Patriots, is maybe we should stop arguing over R&D and start looking at human beings. You know, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. And we're giving money to both sides. Who was president under the Iran-Contra affair when the CIA was selling arms and then using the money to buy drugs and flood Los Angeles with cocaine? It's documented. Who was president? Was he an R or D? Who was president in the invasion of in Afghanistan and Iraq that had nothing to do with September 11th? Who was president? The poppy seed production increased at that time. I'm only saying that if we look at history as a whole and look at what America has become and what's occurred in America as a whole, there's enough blame to go around. And we should stop trying to put more blame on one than another and look at ourselves as Americans and as patriots. And if you had the ability to send a man to war, but you get a deferment so you don't go, what kind of man are you? What kind of man are you to make sure your children are in college or have a signature from a judge so they don't go to war, but then vote or decide to send other men to war, other people's children to war? That's the point I make. We should not let these 18, 19-year-old lives that are buried in every military cemetery across the United States be a dollar sign when we are lied to by the people that we're supposed to vote for to lead us. That's my greatest point. And if you look historically, the names I've given you, things you can go read it for yourself and seeing how many conflicts we've been involved in since World War II, you'll see it has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. And has everything to do with money. Sure, we should defend ourselves, and if we had partners or allies that believe as we do, in free elections, every man has a vote, in democracy, in a constitutional republic, then yes, we should help them, but we should never help anyone that does not agree with us on our principles, our constitution, and our way of life. I don't care where they are, what they say they possess. Our money should be spent here helping Americans. No, I do not believe in handouts. I do not believe in welfare. I do believe in Americans helping Americans. I do not believe financing foreign nations for any of their business, and I do not believe we should fight wars for foreign nations. So let's remember Pearl Harbor today, tomorrow, and forever. Thank you.